Well, if you'd like to follow along once again, I will invite you to get your Bible and turn to the book of Romans and chapter 8. Romans and chapter 8, as many know, these are real familiar scriptures, and they're scriptures that I believe we all need to keep in our hearts and our minds in the day and time that we live. With so much uncertainty, there are lots of certainties for God's people. In so much of a day of trial and tribulation, like we just sang, when we need Jesus, folks, or we do need Jesus, He's there. There's no guesswork with our Lord and our Savior. And we need to be thankful about that. But as we preach to people, talk to God. Talk to Him. He'll talk to you just like He talked to Adam, just like He talked to Moses. Say, well, you know, he won't come in any burning bush. Folks, God verbally speaks with His people. He's not going to come here in His image, because if He did, it would be the end of us. But speak to God. He hears, He knows, He sees, and He for sure helps His people in every way that we need it. The book of Romans, chapter 8, and the Apostle Paul, in the first part of this book, he always reminds us that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. He's telling the saints at Rome that he loves them. He cares for them. He's going to tell Israel in chapter 10, or his prayer for Israel, that they might be saved. And that should be our prayer as well, not only for the nation of Israel, but we that are spiritual Israel as well. The Apostle Paul, he loved the saints at Rome, and that's why he wasn't ashamed to preach the gospel. He loved the saints at Rome. That's because he wanted the saints at Rome to enjoy the salvation that they have and know that in all things the Lord is with His people. But in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 28 is where we're going to start. I got just a few references. I just work a sort of off of a small outline. I don't have a two or three page message typed out, because I'd lose my place anyway. I try to work off of an outline and preach as the Lord would lead me to preach. And sometimes I might misspeak on something or another, and when I do, I hear about it. I really do. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. Have somebody to double check and triple check the things that you say. But we as God's people, and we hear this saying all the time, all things work together for the good to them that love God, you know. We hear people quote that. And we hear people say, I depend on that and everything else. And the Scripture actually reads, and we know that all just a few minutes ago for this hour, but the apostle and everything else, what can happen? The same thing that happens to a lot of other people. You know, we can't say we'll never have any troubles or trials or tribulations. We can't say that. God didn't even guarantee that. But what He does, no. This is talking. Now look. That's why salvation is not a good thing any man should boast. If we had a part, you too. He knew you before you were. You know, a lot of people say when kids are born, well, accidents happen, you know. I know our third one, our third boy, you know, we said, boy, she come in from a doctor and her look on her face, I thought, I thought, cancer. Oh, no. Hey, whatever. And I looked at her and said, are you all right? And then when she told me I wasn't all right. It's something else, but it wasn't a mistake. You know, that was according to His purpose. But we need to realize He for and Christ Jesus was born. People say, how old is God? I don't know how old God is. Can't put an age on God. He always has been. Mankind sure can't put an age on it because, you know, it's just unreal what they believe and what they'll tell you about the age of some things. Just unreal. But they keep trying. They keep trying, you know. And they'll all... But... predestinated. The image of His Son. See, we have been called to be in the image of His Son. You know, we need to realize that when God created Adam, you know, science wants us to be, he said, the science tells us there's an animal kingdom and there's a plant kingdom. And just so happens that they put humans in the animal kingdom. And he said, well, sure does work. Yeah, some of them sure does, should have been born into the animal kingdom instead of the being a man. I mean, I just believe that with all my heart. But you know what? Both God made us before He made man. He had already made the animals, the land animals, the fowl, the air, the fish, everything else before He made man. I believe man I really don't know how to put this. I believe, in my heart, I believe mankind was a highlight of His creation in His own eyes. Everything that He created was perfect. And everything that God created, God said it is good, or it is very good on some of the things that He created. And that's what God made. All things were good and very good. And we were not made when the animals were made. We were made after the animals were made. So, well, is that really a good point to make or anything like that? I think it is, folks, because I think things today, they want us to live like animals. No compassion. No compassion whatsoever. As a matter of fact, even animals have more compassion than humans anymore as a whole. Now, as a whole, I'm not speaking as individually, as a whole. So God made man in His image. We're to be, He made it in the image of His dear Son. And He made us. Amongst many brethren. That calls for fellowship, you know. When the church comes together, it's called fellowship. That means Randy's not supposed to come in and start bad-mouthing everybody else. That's not fellowship. That's troublemaker. Not that he would. Maybe I shouldn't use names. Don't imagine. I use my own. That way it might fit better. But that wouldn't be fellowship. Folks, to be conformed to the image of His Son and to be able, as God says here, that He might be the conformed to the image of His Son, and be able to dwell with many brethren. So, well, it just don't work like that anymore. Haven't you noticed the churches, preacher, that nobody goes anymore, that doors are being shut and locked and everything is? Yeah, we've noticed. I think everybody's noticed that. And we forget sometimes that we are created in the image of God, and that we are created for God's purpose, and that we were created amongst many brethren and sisters, if you want to call it, brothers, sisters. You know, women are not included from the Scriptures, regardless of what a lot of these feminists say, you know. They're not excluded from the Scriptures. People say, by the grace of God, you're the children of God. He says, you're my sons and daughters. And the daughters hold no less of a spot with God than the sons do. No less. Just as important as anybody else. So don't let anybody say, well, you know, things that are right, folks. That's what he does. And you can call it racist if you want. You can call it
But God, in the church, in the home, in our but we're in His image, conformed. And it says more. Something like that.
If I got it written down right, then let you start with verse 7. There it says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord." Especially in the day and time, and it's always been important, but especially in the day and time that we live, Timothy was one of those young men, according to Paul, that he was taught. The things of God. And then Paul was saying, you continue in those things that you have learned from a youth, you continue in those things, because later on, well, that cause you didn't listen to your daddy? No, it's not that. It's sure enough not that, because we lived in a time when they said something, you listened. When they said it, you listened. But I still remember that. That the Lord, when we're taught by whomever, when it comes to the Scriptures. Now, we always need to seek the will of the Scriptures. What the Scripture says, it means. There's just no way to, no other way to put that. There's not one Scripture in there that we're allowed to soften. There's not one Scripture in there that we're allowed to say, well, or this. Because that to me that is no matter what God said it, and that settles it. Well, that is God. So, but he it's like the Apostle Paul was bound over in the book of Acts, he and Silas. When they locked them up, they began to pray and sing praises to God. And people saw that. People heard what they were doing. I don't know how much they could see because they were in the deepest, darkest part of the dungeon. which is what they thought God's people deserved in that day and time, just for preaching the gospel. And God shook the jail, doors opened, chains come off of those, come off of the people, their chains fell off. He could have been a little more kind to Paul and Silas and all the rest of them. You know all of them. Some of them were crucified upside down. Some of them were beheaded and all that kind of stuff. Yes, they were, folks. And it was all for the cause of Christ. You know, sometimes we look at the penalty and we don't look at what they did. Their service and love to Christ is the reason they died. And they stayed right with it. They didn't make any bones about it. They didn't shy away, you know, or anything else. They kept preaching the gospel. They kept preaching God's word. They kept standing for the truth. And he said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer." And, you know, what's God's people called today? Troublemakers. Yeah, y'all Christian people. Y'all people that don't believe that there's only one book that you ought to live by. Y'all people that only believe that there's one way of salvation. Y'all people that take the Word of God don't forget. Folks, God's Word is live, it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharp. That means sharper than a two-edged sword, and everybody knows what a two-edged sword is, you know. There's a knife, a real sharp edge on each side of it. It goes, cuts coming and going. Both directions, coming and going. God says it can even divide even to the heart and the soul. It works deep. Nothing can change that with God's Word. No matter how menial we think it might be, no matter how out of place it might be, or even anything else, Paul suffered as an evildoer, even under bonds, for the cause of Christ. But we are known of God, called of God, used of God, called, justified, and glorified. And folks, we haven't seen anything yet. Haven't seen anything. We're going to have a glorified body one of these days. And so wonder what that'll look like. I don't know, but I do know this. There's not going to be any pain involved with that. There's not going to be any tears, no crying. Not going to be any of that kind of stuff. When we have our glorified body. Say, so you think Christ had a glorified body when he come out of the tomb? You know what, folks? Christ's body of flesh came out of the tomb. His fleshly body came out of the tomb. So I think maybe our glorified body might look just a little bit different, but I do know this. When we see Jesus, folks, we're going to see them scars that he made for us. The ones in his feet, his hands, his side. We're going to see where they platted the crown of thorns. I think we're going to, if we have access to see his back, folks, where they beat him till he was just plumb unrecognizable, you know, as a human being hardly. I think our glorified body is going to be a little different than that. Old Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe that stuff. I ain't going to believe that stuff till I see it." And Jesus said, "Here I am. Here I am." He said, "Here, stick your hand in that hole in my side so you'll be convinced. Touch the holes in my hand so you'll be convinced." He couldn't say anything but, "My God and my Savior. My Lord and my God," he said. Couldn't say a thing. But they saw Jesus, folks, after he came out of the tomb. He saw that. A little off the subject there, but what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? People accuse you, the devil accuses you before God. He does. He has access to the throne of God. Why God would put up with that, I have no idea. But he has access to the throne of God, and he blames his people every day. He said, did you see old Gary Howe down there? Did you know what he thought? Did you see what he did? Have you viewed his life any? Have you been involved with him at all? Said, look at him. People are looking at him and saying, if he's saved, I'm a shoo-in. Shameful if it's like that with me. But if he's saved, I'm a shoo-in, people will think. Jesus said, I died for that one, Father. He's mine. You gave him to me. Oh, how thankful we ought to be. Who's going to accuse God's elect? The devil's trying. Other people are trying. They try just to try to destroy the life of a child of God. A child of God with a witness that it doesn't glorify God. Folks, you know what? That makes us pretty useless in God's service. But he still charges God's people. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. God is. Folks, we're going to answer to God, just like everybody else. When I die, I'm going to stand before my Savior. The great white throne of judgment, folks, think about this. Book of Revelation tells us about that great white throne of judgment. It said all unbelievers. You know, he mentioned a lot of kind types of sinners in Revelation, don't he? Boy, he mentioned whoremongers and just one thing after another. Say, well, you know, people get sort of tore up when you start mentioning types of sin. You know, Jesus did. God did all through the Scriptures. God warns His people about all kind of sin. All kind of it. But you know who else is going to be there with all of those people, murderers and liars and thieves and whoremongers and all that kind of stuff? All unbelievers. You think about that. All unbelievers. Going to be at that great white throne of judgment. You see, folks, God's people don't have to endure that. God's people won't be at that great white throne of judgment. We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Boy, that's good. Well, folks, are we going to be ashamed before Him or not? God's the one that justifies. God's the one we're going to answer to. His Word. His way. So we're actually going to sit before Jesus at the judgment seat. Yes, we are, folks. This is all of God. You know what? It's all of God. And we are going to sit before Jesus. And I'm going to answer for me. And me alone. I'm not going to be able to say, well, that so-and-so, you know, they lived like the Dickens, and they say they're going to make it. And I thought I could do the same. Folks, we're going to be without excuse when we're before our Savior, kneeling humbly, bowing, just like the Scripture says, everybody, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Folks, we're going to know our Savior as we've never known Him before. We're going to answer to Him. But in the meantime, who is He that condemneth? It was Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, and who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, what else is there? And whom else is there? People say, well, none of those things can, but you can separate yourself from God. God says, no other creature. What do we think we are? In the eyes of God, folks, we're a creature. We're a part of His creation. He created us just like He did everything else. And when God says, any other creature, don't make any difference. Like the book of Hebrews we looked at a little bit ago, doesn't make any difference about that. We know. We know who our God is. We know who is our Savior. And we know we're saved, folks, and there's nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Or nobody. Not even the devil himself. As Lucifer's an angel, see? Not even the devil himself can separate us from the love of God. Nor any other creature. So, how do we stand before God today? Are we saved by His grace, or are we lost? Do we know Him, or do we not know Him in pardon and remission of our sin? And I'm sure there's going to be an invitation on Him here just shortly as we close our message. If you're here today and you have never repented and trusted in Christ, we implore you to do that. God will do the calling. Hear the gospel. Christ died for your sin. He was buried. He arose again the third day for your justification. It's a personal salvation. You repent of your sin, God will save you by His grace. Between you and God and nobody else. Nobody else. God won't ask me one question about you if He decides to save you. He won't ask me one thing. What do you think about that person? You repent and believe the gospel, God will save you by His grace. That's what I believe. Might you trust in Him this day? And I'm sure if we have a verse or two, whatever they please to bring before us, if God saved you by His grace, you'd like to let us know, let us know. Boy, there'll be a cause for rejoicing there. Brother Andy.